Today's reading is taken from John chapter 19, verses 1 to 16. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers placed a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and said unto Jesus, "Who art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, "Speak now, not unto me? Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh him a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. This is the word of the Lord.
Our reading this morning is taken from John chapter 19, verses 17 to 27. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. May God bless this reading to us.
Our reading today is taken from John 19, verses 27 to 37. And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished and so the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, the sponge on the stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was a day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers, therefore, came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happen so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, "They will look on the one they have pierced." Here ends the reading. Amen.
John's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 38 to 41. Afterward, Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus, because he feared the Jewish leaders, asked Pilate permission to take Jesus' body down. When Pilate gave him permission, he came and took the body away. Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night, also came, bringing about 75 pounds of embalming ointment made from myrrh and aloes. Together they wrapped Jesus' body in a long linen cloth with the spices, as is the Jewish custom of burial. The place of crucifixion was near a garden, where there was a new tomb, never used before. Thanks be to God for his word. Amen.
Good Friday is about a clash between two different sorts of power. There's the power of force, of violence. It's the power of the Roman Empire that was conquering the whole world. A force that would tolerate no rebellion. Any nation that attempted to rebel against Roman authority was crushed, and its ringleaders were crucified. And then there's the power of love, represented by Jesus. And somewhere in the middle, there is a man called Caiaphas, representing the chief priests, who is determined to get rid of Jesus. So this morning we're going to look at these three people: Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, Caiaphas, the chief priest, and Jesus of Nazareth. Let's start off with Pontius Pilate. He was the Roman governor. They appointed him. He was there to keep the Jewish people reasonably happy so they didn't rebel, but also to make sure that any rebellion that did happen was ruthlessly crushed. His job depended on keeping the Jewish people sweet. It certainly depended on keeping the Roman authorities sweet. If they felt he wasn't doing a good job, then he would lose his job straight away. I wonder if today we can have a bit of sympathy for Pontius Pilate. It's hard to have sympathy for a ruthless man like this, but Jesus does. And maybe if Jesus does, we can as well. Pilate is playing the political game. He says to Jesus, "I have authority to crucify you." And Jesus, if I may put it in my own words, says, "Really? Pilate, all you're doing is trying to perform this balancing act of keeping everybody happy. You have no power of your own. If you did, then you would have known that Jesus of Nazareth was innocent." Well, you did know that, didn't you? You would have released him if you had your own power. But your job was to keep other people happy. Your authority only came to you from above. It came to you because there were commanders telling you what to do. And Pilate, who does seem to have a bit of a conscience in our reading today, finds himself doing what never should have been done. Let's have a bit of sympathy for him today. And if we have sympathy for him today, let's also have sympathy for those who govern us today, because they play the political game too. They find themselves in positions where they don't do what they really think that they should. Now, some of us today are political. Some of us might be the sort of people who go on demonstrations and we campaign politically. Some of us may not be political. We may never vote because we think it's a waste of time. But whoever we are today, this Good Friday, let's have sympathy for those who rule, no matter how well we think they're doing it or how badly we think they are doing it. Jesus stands before Pilate of all people and still manages to show sympathy and love to him. He recognizes the difficulty that Pilate is under. And although he says that Pilate has sinned, Pilate has fallen well short of what God expects, he still kind of makes a bit of an excuse for him. You are being pushed, you are being pressed in different directions. By the way, don't necessarily believe those who tell you that all sin is the same. So please, some sympathy for our government, who have such a difficult job to do, well, even when we're speaking against what we think they are doing. And then there's Caiaphas in this story today, the chief priest, who was appointed by Rome. Rome did not trust the Jews to appoint their own high priest. It was far too influential a position for them to allow that. So they appointed him. And Caiaphas is the real ringleader in the death of Jesus. He's the one who looks out on Palm Sunday as Jesus is coming in as king, and he sees the crowd acclaiming Jesus, and he thinks, if this goes on, the Romans are going to exert their authority, we're going to be crushed, and no doubt I'm going to lose my job as well. So he thinks, we have to take action. It's better that Jesus should die than the whole nation should be trampled on by Rome. In a strange way, Caiaphas gives a prophetic word. It's better that one person should die for all the people than that the nation should perish. Who would believe the people that God is able to speak through? He must have been utterly bemused by Jesus, the Jesus who he has down as a revolutionary but doesn't fight. Jesus says to Pilate, "My kingdom's not of this world. If it was, we'd fight. But this isn't a battle of power that's about fighting. We're going to win without fighting." And Caiaphas, I think he's the one that Jesus is referring to as the one who handed him over. It possibly was Judas, but I think it's more likely to be Caiaphas. And perhaps here, the point is that on this day, we need to have a lot of discernment as to who the real ringleaders are. Pilate wasn't the one who was responsible for making the move that led to Jesus' death. It was Caiaphas. And I want to show sympathy to Caiaphas today, because I believe that Jesus shows sympathy to everybody. But I do believe this passage is saying to us, don't jump to conclusions about what is really going on. On this day, it's the Caiaphas and the chief priests, the priests that he represents, who seem to get their way. He is the ringleader. But now let's look at Jesus. Jesus, it says in John chapter 13, which is several chapters before our reading today, but it's only the night before. Let me read this so I get the exact words. It says that Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And he goes on to demonstrate and to say that the power that he's talking about is the power of love. So Jesus goes to the cross, amazingly loving those who've treated him badly. And he challenges, he calls Pilate to account. Well, is that your idea? Did somebody say that to you? Are you really thinking about that? And he says to Pilate, you know, I'm here to testify to the truth. You know, I'm here to show you something that's much deeper than anything you've imagined. And Pilate responds, what is truth? Interesting when the phrase your truth has become one that's been talked about so much recently. There is my truth and there is your truth, but there is also the truth. And it's the truth that Jesus comes to give to us today. So Jesus comes into this story. Are you a king? Says Pilate. Well, you say I'm a king. And Pilate does. The charge goes up. The king of the Jews. Not this man said, I'm the king of the Jews, which the Jewish leaders wanted. Jesus comes as king. He comes as the one who says to us, I'm going to show you a completely different way of power. The power that will beat the Roman Empire by submitting to it. The power that will beat Caiaphas by continuing to love. The power that will beat my sin by continuing to love and beat yours as well. It's love that radiates out from Jesus. And he says, this is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. And so Jesus goes to that cross, knowing that God has given him all power, knowing that he has come from God and has returned to God. The power of the Roman Empire, which has conquered the world, is nothing before the power of Jesus. And we will see that on Easter Sunday. The power of Caiaphas to manipulate just ends up being part of God's bigger plan, because God is always playing on a much bigger game plan than we are. And the power of Jesus triumphs. Resurrection Day is coming. The correct type of power wins.